So the Missouri legislature is on a spring break. I know many of the schools are in the area as well, so I guess it coincides well if those folks want to be off or take off or whatever it might be. I don't know. I mean, they only work 5 months a year. You need a spring break? I'm just pointing that out, too. Patrick Ishmael is our friend at the Show Me Institute, Missouri-based think tank, joining us on KCMO. All right, Patrick, what do you think? Do our lawmakers really need a spring break? I guess less damage can be done. What do you think of that?
It was always jarring when I realized that there was a spring break when I first started the Show Me Institute. And I will say that they do not need a spring break. They have basically 7 months off. And I think it is kind of silly that they have a week in the middle. Maybe give them an opportunity to visit some of their colleagues or some of their supporters at home. Maybe there's some utility in that. I'm sure there is some. But it is kind of a silly thing. But it does give us an opportunity to kind of take stock of what's going to happen in the legislative session ahead. It ends in mid-May, so there's not necessarily a whole lot of time left, and the legislature has a lot left to do.
All right. You're right. It seems like they're basically going to do anything important the last couple of weeks. It's kind of like cramming for a final exam in college is what it seems like they do. They talk about things for a while, and then, you know, they'll get it done at the very end. How would you grade them so far? I mean, they start back in January. We're sitting here in mid-March. It doesn't feel like a lot of big things have happened thus far. What would you give them as a grade right now, and why?
I would give them a C. I think the legislative session started off like an A, and I think the reason that we were so optimistic is that we were hearing the right things, and we were seeing actual legislation kind of move through the process, bills on tax cuts, so individual income tax cuts and corporate income tax cuts. On education, we saw really great progress in terms of inter-district choice and ESA expansion. Boys and girls sports, those sorts of issues were being grappled with pretty early on. And then it just kind of wasted away. There were a series of filibusters in the Senate that slowed things up. I don't know why the Senate kind of entertains this, because you have a presumably conservative supermajority that wants educational choice and wants these tax cuts. And it just seems like they end up pushing all this stuff to the very end and kind of waste time in the interim. And really, to me, budgets are kind of a set of priorities. You know, what you spend money on is what you actually value. And I think legislation is the same way. And you have to queue things up in the order in which you care about them. You have to make time for those items and pass them through. And then by the end of the legislative session, like, you can come to the maybe smaller issues that you may be important to a small sector of the public. But when it comes to educational choice, like, that's the priority of the majority caucus. And the fact that that has not gotten done is just really, really kind of silly.
My understanding is that it's because rural Republican lawmakers don't want to go ahead with more school choice because, you know, and I understand, I used to live in a rural community. In their communities, everything is based around the school, you know, Friday Night Lights, the whole thing. But as you have noted, and many of your colleagues have noted on this show and elsewhere, if you love your public school, everyone's going to stay in the public school. So I don't know why there is this concern from lawmakers in rural conservative districts.
Well, for sure. And open enrollment passed in the House last week by, you know, a pretty bare majority, about 85, which is three votes more than they needed. So definitely there is some division in the conservative caucus on this. But I think that, you know, school choice helps everybody. And the reason that I say that is, you know, we've done a lot of transparency projects over time. And I think over the last 2 years, when you look at education in the state, you know, you look at it from the perspective of spending and performance and curriculum. I think parents have gotten a lot more, like, in tune to what is actually going on in their schools, like how money is being spent, what's being taught to kids. You know, the fact that a lot of these schools and districts have been failing for a really long time. You know, I was up in Clay County yesterday, and a lot of the parents and a lot of the folks up there, I don't think realize how challenging the educational system is in the state and even in their backyard. You know, when only one in three kids in the state is proficient in math, that's a failing grade. And I think when people find out, when parents find out that, you know, their schools are not nearly as good as they thought they were, and that they're teaching their kids things that they don't necessarily agree with, and they're spending money in ways that are wasteful and not necessarily getting in the classroom, I think there ends up being this kind of demand for school choice where there wasn't school choice before. And even in rural communities, I mean, especially if you want options, You may not have a whole lot of independent schools or charter schools that are available in those communities, but you certainly have neighboring communities that you might be able to get a better education for your kid in. And I think that's a slow realization. The more that you lay out exactly what the reality is, setting aside the sports and, the Friday Night Lights and all that kind of stuff, like everyone has is kind of a patriot for their own community.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. And it ought to be that way. But at the same time, you have to look at education with very clear eyes. And when parents do, when you have transparency and accountability, I think that you end up seeing a lot more demand for school choice. And I think that it's a slow process in rural Missouri to find support for that. But school choice is popular everywhere or getting that way. Arizona certainly is not a only cosmopolitan kind of area. Same thing with Iowa. Same thing with Arkansas. All these places are pursuing school choice. Missouri needs to go that direction.
I agree. Patrick Ishmael, Show Me Institute. All right. What about on the tax front? Another thing that should be a no-brainer with a supermajority Republicans and a Republican governor. Are we getting more tax reform in Jeff City, or are they going to drag their feet on that too?
I think that they will get there at least on a handful of items. I don't know if we're going to get cuts to the corporate income tax, the individual income tax, and personal property taxes, or reforms to personal property taxes. I think that you are going to see probably one of those three things, maybe more. I don't know. Maybe we'll be surprised, and I will change my grade from C to A+. But there has been discussion about it. I know that in the House they are very interested in corporate income tax cut, and that's really just to make sure that you're able to make Missouri a pro business kind of state, a pro market state where you're investing in everyone by saying we're going to like keep more of your money, and I think that. That's a great idea. Corporate income taxes are destructive to growth. The research is very clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we can lower that rate or get rid of the corporate income tax entirely, it's much better than, say, issuing a bunch of tax credits for Hollywood movies or for old buildings or that sort of thing, because you're investing in actual businesses that are producing widgets or producing a thing for the public. That's a much better way forward. But I think there are opportunities for tax reform. The question is, does the legislature have the ambition to get it done. We're at a critical juncture right now in spring break. We'll see what the next 2 months bring.
What about sports betting in the next minute or so? It's once again something that I imagine is bipartisan to a large degree. We know why it's been held up, and that's because of these video lottery terminals that are a point of controversy. Are they going to get something simple like that done, Patrick, or is even that up in the air?
I think that's up in the air. I mean, I think it's the fact that, the debate is being suffocated by a bunch of other issues that should have been resolved by now. I mean, especially when you're talking about, boys and girls sports. I mean, that should have been a no-brainer, and yet it is going to roll over as an issue into the second half of the legislative session. And so the more filibustering that happens on the big issues that really matter, it takes away the justification to move on to other issues that I think are lower on the totem pole here. And so sports betting, it exists in Kansas, and so I think most Kansas Cityans, if they want to go to a bar and do some betting, it's available to them, at least in that particular context. But, unfortunately, I think the legislature, if they want to make a move on this and, be able to collect tax revenue based off of this gambling, they need to start clearing the decks of the other really important issues. And because in the meantime, it's going to imperil, secondary priorities that are still important, like sports betting for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
They require more time than is being permitted right now.
Very interesting. Patrick Ishmael of the Show Me Institute, Missouri-based think tank. Good to have him on. Patrick, thanks for your time, man. Have a great week.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Thanks, Pete.
All right. Good stuff.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.